We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 29th chapter, the 20th Pasuk. The Navi is describing a time when Hashem will pay back, when Hashem will show the world that He is repaying the righteous for their righteousness and the wicked for their wickedness. The Navi continues and says in Pasuk Chaf, Ki afes aritz v'chal aletz, the time will come where the powerful, the wicked who were powerful, will be cut down, they will be annihilated. V'chalaleitz, and those who used to mock the ways of Hashem will cease to be. V'nichetu kol shokedei avin, and those who were swift to do dishonest things, the shoked is those who are swift. That's why the almond tree is called shaked, because it's the swift one to produce its fruits. So shokedei avin, those who are swift to do dishonesty, will be nichritu, they will be cut down. Machtiei adam bidavar, Hashem says, I will cut down those who cause others to transgress with their words. He's talking about the false prophets who would encourage people to transgress and would promise them that they're going to get a world to come for it. As we find the two false prophets who went out to Babylon and tried to seduce the king's daughter, the princess. They used to say they were doctors and prophets, and then they'd sleep with people's wives and tell them this was part of the cure. So ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar heard of this, and he burnt them alive. But it didn't stop them. They were ready to try with the king's own daughter, the princess. And then when he wanted to burn them, they said, we're talking the word of God. So he said, fine, I had three people who spoke the word of God. I put them in a burning furnace, and they walked out alive. Let's see if it works for you. So they said, but they were three, and we're two. You need three in order for it to work. So he said, fine, choose a third. So they chose the man of God, Yoshua ben Yotzadak, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. And Yoshua was thrown into the furnace with them. And they burnt, and he walked out alive. So you see, the false prophets would encourage people to transgress and promise them, this is the way to the world to come. Could you pass him the cake? Welcome. V'lamochiach mashal yikoshun. And the people who would place stumbling blocks for the judges and the prophets who would try to rebuke the nation truthfully at the gates. So those people too will be cut down. L'amochiach mashal. The people who would stumble, yekoshun, they would cause to stumble, the mochiach bashar, the men who rebuke at the gates. Vayatu vatohu tzadik. And they were able to seduce the righteous to transgress with emptiness. They'd make them promises that were empty. So Hashem says, all of these people who led movements, who led the people astray, all these people will be cut down. Lachin koamar Adonai el Beit Yaakov asher pada et Avraham. So says Hashem to the house of Jacob, I will cut down these people who are misleading you. I am Hashem who redeemed Avraham from Ur Kasdim. Lo ata yevosh Yaakov, velo ata panav yechevahu. When we reach this point where I will cleanse the people of Israel, so then Yaakov will no longer be ashamed of his descendants. His face will not be ashen because of his descendants. Now this idea that Yaakov keeps an eye on us is written already in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayechi. It says, when Yaakov was lying on his deathbed, he asked his children, are you faithful to monotheism? And they all answered, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Medrash says, the Gemara says, no, it's in the Medrash, the Gemara doesn't say this, the Medrash says, that's our declaration every morning. When we say Shema Yisrael, we're speaking to Yaakov Avinu, we're saying, look Dad, we're still faithful. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we've stuck to monotheism. Ordinarily, we understand that Shema Yisrael is a call to the congregation. Shema is said in public. You're calling out to everyone and you're saying, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's a Hamlachat Malchut Shemaim. It's a declaration that Hashem is king over all of us. That's why it's said out loud. Technically, Shema should be said out loud in Shul. The way the Sfaradim do it, where everyone says it together, that's the idea. So Shema Yisrael ordinarily is understood, we're speaking to one another. But there is this idea in the Medrash that we're talking to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is the last of the patriarchs. He's keeping an eye on his grandchildren. So the Navi says, Yaakov will no longer be embarrassed because he'll see that Am Yisrael is clean again. I'll get to you in a second. Ki viroto yeladav ma'asei yadai bekirbo yakdishu shemi. As he sees in his midst, he will see that his children are righteous and kosher. They are sanctifying my name. They are no longer deceiving one another and going the ways of the pagans. When he sees that, v'ikdishu et kedosh Yaakov v'et Elohei Yisrael ya'aritzu. They will sanctify and praise Hashem, who is the Holy One of Am Yisrael. When he sees that, then he will no longer be embarrassed. V'yade'u to'eru achbina. Even those who had erred in their understanding earlier, then they will ultimately have understanding. V'rognim yilmedu lekach. And those who were always focused on complaining, rogenim is like it says in the Torah, vateragenu. You became complainers, what they call in modern English a kvetch. So v'rogenim, those who were focused on finding claims and complaints. Is there a good word for that in English? Is there a good word for a kvetch? Someone who likes to complain.
A nag.
It's got to be a better word. So even they will yilmedu lekach, will learn the ways of the Torah. So then Yaakov Avinu will be proud of his descendants. Yes?
Question with regards to the dynamics of Yaakov keeping an eye on us, or on the Jewish people. Number one, you mentioned that he will no longer be embarrassed, I assume, with regards to when the Jews do whatever tshuva that they need to do, whether it means stop doing idol or whatever it is. But what does it mean that Yaakov is embarrassed? Is that good? Like, if you think about it in terms of us being embarrassed, say you are with someone who does or says something embarrassing, you want to say I don't know. Does Yaakov not then want to have anything to do with keeping an eye on us? And then I didn't quite understand what it means that Yaakov keeps an eye on us, that he protects us. He's like an angel type thing, or that he's what does it mean? Like in the practical sense, what does it mean that Yaakov keeps an eye on us? And then what does it mean when he's embarrassed? Does he distance himself from us? When he's not embarrassed, does he become closer? Well, what does it mean?
I don't know what all that means. I don't know.
You don't know.
Don't know. I don't know. I don't know, because Rashi learns that Yaakov's embarrassment is from his parents. It says, though Avram and Yitzchak say, what kind of kids did you bring up? That's how Rashi learns. Now, the question is, because the Talmud in Tractate Brachos questions whether the patriarchs are really following what's going on by us down here. And the Talmud gives two answers. One answer is yes, and the other answer is, how do you know? Meaning the Talmud says, when Moshe came to take us out of Egypt, so Hashem tells him, go tell Avram Avinu I kept my promise that his children are coming out with great wealth. So the Gemara says, you see, Avram would have known otherwise. Avram would have complained otherwise. Hashem says, tell him I kept my promise. The Gemara says, who says? Who says that's the... So the Gemara, on the same page, it's one page where the Gemara is going back and forth. One opinion in the Talmud is, of course the deceased know what's going on here. They know exactly what's going on here. And the other opinion says, who says? Says that they really know, and the Gemara doesn't give us a bottom line. So the question over here is, when we say Yaakov Avinu is won't have to be embarrassed, the simple answer is that's poetic form. I purposely quoted the other Medrash to show that there is a deeper understanding here. There is an element of connection between us and Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says Yaakov didn't die. So there's this idea that Yaakov's still around. He's buried in the cave of the patriarchs, right? But he's still around. If you look at the Midrash Tanhuma, then the Vayechi, if you look at the Gemara in Tractate Brachos, and the Gemara in Sota, it says that when Esav's head fell on Yaakov, they were coming to bury Yaakov in Maraz HaMachpela, Esav's head fell on Yaakov's stomach, and Yaakov opened his eyes and smiled. Wait a second, I thought they mummified him, Right? It says, Vayachantu arofim. So that's what the Medrash asks. Didn't they mummify him? But you see, there's still this idea that Yaakov's still around. We have this concept about Eliyahu Hanavi, that Eliyahu became an angel, he's still around. And then about Yaakov, we have fewer allusions, but we do have allusions in the Medrash and in different places in Talmud that seem to say that Yaakov, more so than the other patriarchs, is still connected. Okay, if we touched on this, maybe we'll go off on a broader tangent. Where are you serving now?
We're about to move to Ramallah.
Okay, so the Talmud tells us that on Rosh Chodesh, Eliyahu comes to the cave of the patriarchs, Maris HaMachpelah, and he wakes up Avraham Avinu, washes his hands, and then Avraham Avinu prays for the people of Israel. And then he puts Avraham Avinu back to sleep, and he wakes up Yitzchak Avinu, and he davens for Am Yisrael. And then he puts him back to sleep, and then Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to Rebbe's shir. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi used to come to his shir. One Rosh Chodesh he came late. So Rebbe asked him, why are you late? You see, he held even Eliyahu to task. He says, why are you late? He wasn't as easygoing as we are here. Eliyahu said, well, I had to go to Maris HaMachpelah till I got Avraham up, till I put him back down. Yitzchak, Yaakov takes time. So Rebbe says, then why don't you do them all at once? Wake them all up at once, let them all down, and then put them all back to sleep at once. You know, why do you have to do it separately? So he says, Eliyahu says, if I do it all at once, Mashiach would come right away. If they would daven right away. So Rebbe says, no. Okay. So he says, yeah, but Hashem doesn't want it now. It's not the time yet. So I'm just saying, there again, you see this idea that the patriarchs are connected to us still today. It's not just we who are connected to them. It's also them who are connected to us. They're still davening on our behalf. Whatever that means. But we see it encompasses all three. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rachel mevakal banah. You see, the matriarchs too are connected to us. I don't know exactly how that works, but on some level, they're still rooting on our behalf in heaven. Yes?